Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 15. And in our study of Jeremiah, we are privileged to be exercised by his life, his ministry, his exercise to become one of the great prophets. And thus he had to be educated, as we all do, re-educated. You have to get uneducated sometime to get re-educated. And Jeremiah went through that, is going through the process of growing and knowing. He's walking with God. He represents God. He has an assignment to the Jerusalem and the people of Judah, Benjamin. And in the process, they are not cooperating. They are bent on going the wrong direction. They have no interest in going the right direction, no matter what anyone says. And so God has lowered the verdict upon them that it is final and that they are going to suffer great persecution. And Nebuchadnezzar is coming in. And so the situation in the to then them and now in our world is not the best. It's not very safe. And just think of little things on Sunday. You live in a universe in which everything is imperfect, defective, at fault. There's nothing perfect anywhere. And sin, man's sin, has brought that upon every aspect of the stars and the birds and the bugs, everything. So when we try to fix everything, you have to understand whatever you're fixing is imperfect to begin with. And just think of 1,000 ways to say it. You invent a new drug, and next thing you know, the little bugs that you try to kill develop a great ability to overcome what you are trying to do, and they develop a bug that you can't kill. And then you start all over again and have a bug and super bugs, and when do you end? It never ends. And when you're all done, people die. They still die, and they waste away in a human form, physically, that is. Now, so having said that and keeping that little bit in mind, Jeremiah is reacting again to God's straightforward, there's no way to salvage anything, and we share that together in verses 12 through 14. Now, in the light of that, and Jeremiah is all alone, and Jeremiah is responding. So we're trying to capitalize on why God bothered to put it in the Bible, why God put all this in for us, because it wouldn't matter to Jeremiah. He already has lived through it. So, and others, they aren't Jeremiah. So God, why'd you put it in there? So that we would be educated on history, biblical history, sacred history, secular history, so that we'd have an understanding of how humanity has advanced down the corridor of time. So now, here's Jeremiah, and we want to exercise what he knew, what he was going through. So in doing that, we share together in verse 15, O Lord, thou knowest. And we took time on that to understand God knows. And Jeremiah knew that God knew what he doesn't know, and God was going to do what he did, would do, and Jeremiah was going to have to understand that God does know, and God does do, in the light of everything he knows. So now, we did that a little bit and related it to ourselves. So in our own little world, God knows all about us from start to finish. That's very important. So when you look to God, trust God, ask God, he already knows. I don't want to forget that, ever. Jeremiah, thank you. I don't want to forget it. He didn't want to forget it. Secondly, we share together in the light of that, remember me. Now, that's a command, remember me. And in the in that little word, remember, to keep in mind, if you would, to keep in your mind, in your memory, to make an imprint. Think of a thing going into a piece of clay and you put it in and it makes an imprint. Imprint, that's the word. To make an imprint on the brain so you have, see, understand. Keep it in mind. I don't want to lose it. It's pressed into my mind and heart, in my memory, imprinted. So now, remember me. That's a command. That's what he wants. He wants to be remembered. And he's reminding himself, that God, remember me. That's what he's saying. God, remember me. Now, in order to capitalize on that, to get a handle on that a little bit, to keep in mind. So God, Jeremiah, what are you asking God to remember you for? About what? What do you want him to remember? And here we are. God knows all about us. And what do you wish, want sometime God to remember? Over, if you would please, to the same period in history. Over to Habakkuk, if you would, in chapter 3. And Habakkuk is in the same period Jeremiah is, and he's looking down, as it were, at Jerusalem and Judah, Nebuchadnezzar. He's looking at the same thing Jeremiah is. Now, so here in Habakkuk, we have his prayer, and going up, if I can, chapter 3, in verse 2. You're familiar with it, but note it's what it says. O Lord, I have heard thy speech, and I was afraid. O Lord, I heard what you said, but wow, that was something, God, what you said. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, as you work out things, God, you know everything. As you work out everything, make known in thy wrath. When all you're doing, remember, Nebuchadnezzar's coming, Habakkuk's looking at the same devastation Nebuchadnezzar's going to do to Jerusalem. In your wrath, God, remember mercy. Remember mercy, God. Well, I see what's going to happen. Jeremiah, you know what's going to happen. Remember mercy, God, in wrath. You have to do it, but remember mercy. Hang on. Now, having said that, we'll personalize that a little more. Psalm 25. Again, you're familiar. But picking up a little verb, to be mindful, to make an imprint. Psalm 25, may I go directly in verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Now, here's a little word. Remember, keep in mind, remember me. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. So God, Habakkuk said, in wrath remember mercy. And here's David, David said, you've got to be merciful, God. You always have been. In fact, in the Ten Commandments, he said, up to 1,000 generations, I'll be merciful. Wow. Verse 7. Remember, there's your little word, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, there's a little word, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. So God, you don't remember in Isaiah 43, he will not remember thy sins. Jeremiah, what did you say, David? Remember mercy and don't hold all the stupid things they did and said and shouldn't have done. My transactions, God, would you, whenever you look at me, would you think about mercy? Don't think about wrath. Now, having said that, over to Psalm 103. So God, we're with David, and we also know, God, that you know. What do you know? Well, we know Psalm 103. And picking up, if I can, in verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth, there's your word, he has us in mind that we're dust. Jeremiah, remember me, said, remember, God, remember me, I'm just dust, and you need to be merciful. So God, I know all this stuff has to happen. I know all this stuff, evil is there, trouble, it's all there. We created it, we promote it, and we rebel against you. So it's going to happen even more so. So God, you know that we're dust. That's what you know. So God, there's nothing we can boast about, nothing we can get proud about, and make a big to-do about it all. So God, when we come to you, we're asking you to remember us. And only you, God, remember us properly, because only you know all about us. So now, over to 106. And in 106, slide over to verse 45. And I'll pick up the thought if I can. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. So God, Jeremiah, what are you asking? God, remember me. Well, God, as he looks, well, you made a covenant. You're merciful. You know that we're but dust. And God, don't forget. Keep us in mind. Do this in remembrance of me. So here we are, look, God, and looking to you, and Jeremiah is asking that you would remember him. And very realistically, as only you can. Psalm 78. And again, the sequence. Psalm 78, remember, they are all in the wilderness, etc. They just keep disobeying, and God has to keep honoring his word. So when you come to 78:35, as you know, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. It was all hypocrisy. A whole lot of words, a whole lot of talk, but no heart. Now, and if I can, verse 37. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant, which he remembers. Verse 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. Verse 39. For he remembered, there's your word, he remembered, he was mindful, that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness, and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God, put God to the proof, and limited the Holy One of Israel by telling God what to do, when they would have been better off letting God do what he would do. Because God has, just think of it, 1,000 different ways, that God's thoughts to you and me are more than the sand of the sea. Now, how many thoughts do you have about yourself? About yourself. About you. Right now. How many thoughts do you have about you? Good. How many does God have? As the sand of the sea. So why would you tell God how to do something? And suggest to God, if you just do this and just do that, when God has a zillion ways to do things so much better, and we lock them in. They limited, that's the word, limited, to mark out ahead of time. They put a wall out there and said, not past that. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. Verse 42, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from their enemy. They remembered not. They keep forgetting. That's why God will say, you don't forget me, don't forget me. And we have the Lord's table, as we mentioned a moment ago. Do this in remembrance of me. You're going to, trouble is, you're going to forget. I don't forget, but you need to know that I don't forget. And you're counting on my memory, not your memory. Aren't you? Aren't you counting on God's memory? You're counting on God's knowing, aren't you? Aren't you doing that? God, it's you. I don't know. And God, I forget a thousand things and I don't even remember what I don't know. I can't. I don't know it. So God, you remember. That's very good. Very good. Now, having said that little bit, back over, if you would, to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 15, and picking up, if I may, in chapter 15 and in verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me, so we just did that, so you can see how relevant it is, if you want to make it. Otherwise, you just read words and verbs. And they go right by you. What did it mean to you? What does it bring to your heart to help us? And the same God, I'm in your presence, God. So here I am, God, and I'm being reminded by your word. So therefore, this third thing, a command, visit me. That's a command, visit me. It means to go and to split asunder. For the purpose of judging, to sever, to divide, to examine, to put to the proof, to show one's involvement, to have urgent care for somebody, to give special direct attention to somebody. In other words, pay attention to somebody because you care and you're going to do something. And thus the word visit. I'm going to visit you. Years ago, remember, the doctor would come and visit you in your house because you were sick. Wow. Now, having said that, and when I said that, I just thought of that. It occurred to me today when I was out, I had to be out in that, and I was trying to think back then to the doctors I knew back when I was in the 40s and all that. And remember, you could train to be a doctor without ever going to medical school. A doctor would have trained you. And if you passed all the tests, you'd be a doctor. And when I thought of that, I thought of my kitchen table there in Somerville. And when the doctor, I'm trying to think of his name, when the doctor came over to take my sister's tonsils out, and he put her up on the kitchen table, and that's where he took them out. On the kitchen table. And so next time you have your appendix or something, you just go and tell the doctor to come over and you'll be in the couch. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. You remember that? You ever have that happen? Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what they did. Wow. Now, so here, visit me. All right, I want to get a handle on that. Visit me. Be thoughtful. Take me apart and visit me, examine me. Over, if you would please, to get that a little bit, over to Genesis, and Genesis in chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. And you will note, please, in verse 1, and the Lord visited, there's your word, Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, and Sarah conceived, etc., etc. Now, and visited. So he came, was concerned, he was involved, he knew what had to be done, and he did it. He did it. He visited. Over to the end of Genesis, chapter 50. Verse in chapter 50, picking up, if I can, Joseph and that. Chapter 50, verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And he was going to die. And God will surely visit you, there's your word, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, there's your word, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph wanted to make sure you guys are all understanding that God's going to come, Exodus, going to come, and he's going to visit you, and he's going to do something wonderful and take you out of Egypt. You're in Egypt, but eventually you're going to get out of Egypt. Now, in the light of that, over to Exodus. Exodus in chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Remember the Moses, 80 years old, up in the Mount Sinai area over there. And here we are looking, verse 16. Remember God said, I am that I am, at verse 14, down to verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. In other words, I'm taking a look, and I watched the bondage increase, increase, increase. I've been watching it. I know. I am very mindful, and I'm visiting. I'm going to do something. But I'm going to wait, and waited till Moses was 80 years old. God waited, but he already said, Moses, at that time, Moses, it's time for me to come and act. A visit, wow. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And you will note, please, in 29, picking up if I can, in verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished, the Babylonian captivity, when that's done, I will visit you. In the meantime, you just sit there, I'm coming, but not yet. I already know, Joseph, I already know, and so I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. So am I going to do it? Uh-huh, I am. I'm going to visit. So is that very important? Absolutely. God, you know, I do. And you happen to be very mindful of all of it, so it isn't a question I need to refresh your mind about anything. And God, you remember all the stuff that needs to be known. And God, you're the one that comes and acts at the right moment in all of history and all of the time for our country, for the world, for all of it. For each thing that you're going to do, you visit us at the right time. Mm-hmm. I do. Remember when the Lord entered Jerusalem on the last week, he said, I came to visit you. Your visitation was there, but you didn't receive it, did you? You weren't ready for my visit. Here I am, and you weren't ready when I came. I visited you. Were you ready for me? No, they weren't. So now, over if you would, Jeremiah 15. You could say this is going to take a little longer to finish Jeremiah if we stayed at this same speed. You understand that. You know. I don't intend to finish Jeremiah anyway. I'm going to stick at it. I'm going to do my half a cent's worth for you. But when it's all done, it will be all over. So be of good cheer. How's that for a prophetic move? When we finish Jeremiah, before I finish, so when we hit Jeremiah some chapter, You say, boy, we're getting, and you'll be able to have a little thing we'll put in USA Today. He's coming. Now, Jeremiah chapter 15. O Lord, thou knowest, that's right, you remember me, command, visit me, and then thirdly, you're going to say a command, visit, revenge me, God, revenge me of my persecutors, revenge me. So now, so God, we've got to look at that and understand that a little bit. So in order to do that, we'll do the last part of it to get to the first part. And revenge me of my persecutors. Revenge me of them. So that's what you're looking for. And the word persecutors is a verb, participle, to drive, to chase away, to pursue after. In other words, these people are after me. They're chasing me. They're trying to kill me. Over to Jeremiah chapter 11. You remember, among other things, they're going to put him in prison and everything. Jeremiah chapter 11, picking up, if I can, in verse 21, in the light of the whole context there. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hands. So, in other words, we're going to kill you. If you don't shut up, we're going to kill you. That's his family, where he was raised. That's where the priests are in that town. He's a priest himself, his family. So here he is. He's got everything going for him, and those are the very people that are out to kill him. If you don't shut up, we're going to kill you. And that's what they were out to do, and God said they were. They're going to try to kill him, and that's what they're going to do. So now, the persecutors. So they're out to get him. They're out to get him. So, and in the light of that, the Jeremiah, you want to go. And you're going to go and you're trying to get them to do right, to think right, and they just aren't doing it. They don't care about doing it. In fact, all your efforts and all your energies are for nothing. They aren't going to go anywhere. So now, back over to chapter 15. Revenge me of my persecutors. So we understand the reason that God, they're being after you. That's right, and you are locked in. You can't run away, Jeremiah. Can you? No. Nope. Jeremiah, could you just take a little ship like Jonah, and sneak off? But you can't. Can you, Jeremiah? Can you get away from the flood coming at you? No. You're going to live smack dab, and the tidal wave, as it were, is going to go right over you. But be of good cheer. So, Jeremiah, you understand now, they're after him. And he can't go anywhere. And they aren't quitting. And the intensity of this whole thing is deepening and deepening and getting more difficult. So now, persecutors. Now, over, if you would, please. In this little word, revenge, that we're looking at, vengeance, to take vengeance, to avenge, and thus, in the process, that's what we'll look at. So we're gonna, it means violent, a violent zeal, to be so excited, angry, and very excited, to punish. Now, so with that word, little verb, revenge me. So God, we got to put that together so that we can see how does that work. Over, if you would, Deuteronomy and chapter 32. Deuteronomy and chapter 32. And may I pick up in thought, if I can, in verse, to get it in the light of the context, 32:35. To me belongeth vengeance, there's your word, and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them Make haste. Yes. So, God, you're going to allow all of that to happen. That's right. Verse 41. If I whet, that means to sharpen, like sharpen a tool. If I whet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance, there's your word, to mine enemies. I will reward them that hate me. So, God, you're going to do that. Verse 42. Well, I'm going to go to verse 43. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge, there's your word, the blood of his servants. He will render vengeance, there's your word again, to his adversaries, and he will be merciful unto his land and to his people. So God, Jeremiah says, I want you to remember, I want you to visit, and I want you to revenge me. They're after me. Okay. Now, having said that a little bit, over if you would to Nahum, the book of Nahum. And this is looking at the Assyrian captivity, looking at the destruction of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, in 612 B.C. So here we are, and it's very quickly you'll pick it up without even working at it. Nahum chapter 1 and in verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth, the second time, and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance, the third time, on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. And so God, Assyria is in great trouble. That's correct. It is in great trouble. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would please to Isaiah 61. So we want to get some more little help with this. So here's vengeance, avenging, to come and avenge with great anger, vehement zeal, etc. Isaiah 61, picking up please in verse. Remember, this is what our Lord said in his first message in the synagogue. He quoted Isaiah in Luke. He quoted Isaiah 61, verse 1. He did not say Isaiah 61, verse 2, because it wasn't relevant then. But it's relevant to us because we're seeking to understand it in the light of vengeance. So when he comes the second time, chapter 61, verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. So God, you're going to come and rectify all the stuff that's wrong. That's correct. That's what I'm going to do that. Now, Jeremiah, do you understand this? Over to Jeremiah, if you would, chapter 17. We're going to see how Jeremiah understands it, and then we're going to see how we understand it. Jeremiah and chapter 17, picking up if I can, in verse 17, 18. Let them be confounded that persecute. Remember, persecutors, he's being persecuted, chased, hunted down. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. God, you're going to do it, and I'm not telling you not to do it. In fact, I'm submitting to it. But I want you to know I'm looking, because they're coming, and I can't stand here and survive unless you do something. Chapter 20, if I can. Verse 11. But the Lord is with me, as a mighty, terrible one. That's what you know, Jeremiah. I do. Therefore, my persecutors, there's your word, shall stumble. They're going to stumble. And they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. So, Jeremiah, are you understanding? God, do you expect God to avenge you? I do. And he will. I knew he would. I'm calling on him too. I am. And he is going to do it. When he visits, he's going to do it. Now, back over, if you would, to Psalm. We did that. Now, Jeremiah, so you're very much confident that God is going to avenge, revenge. That's right, I do. Okay. Persecution. Psalm 18. David, help us. Psalm 18, may I pick up, please, in verse 46, in the middle of all that great, great message from David, by David, 18:46. And the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me, and subdueth the people under me. David, how do you ever go? God's going to have to go, and all the people that, remember David, like Moses and them, they weren't very popular people. They were in a tough spot. And Jeremiah's in a tough spot. Amos is in a tough spot. Now, here's David, and David said, God will avenge me. That's how I'm going to go. The only way I can keep going, Psalm 94. Psalm 94, verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Uh-huh. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Uh-huh. Show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? How long, God? How long? God, vengeance, who's going to have to fix this? God, we can't do it, and the enemy is overwhelming. We can't win. We couldn't beat him. Can't do it. Over to, if you would, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Now, it's us now, and so God, we want to learn from it. Jeremiah, David, how did you do it? You looked to God to avenge. Jeremiah, how are you going to survive? Look to God to avenge. So here we are, John 15, and picking up if I can, in verse 20. Remember the word that I, up in the upper room, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours also. So be of good cheer. If they're going after God, they're going to go after God's people. That's the way it's going to be. So in the light of that, keep that in mind. So they're going to go after God's people if they're going to walk with God. 2 Timothy, looking down and putting all these little things together in front of us. 2 Timothy, and if I can, in chapter 3. And you are familiar as I read it. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So God, can we just sort of slop off and slide? No, you can't do that. If you can do it, but you could do like Nicodemus and people trying to avoid things. about, hey, no, you're gonna go with me. I'm not popular. The world's set against me, dead set against me. So they aren't gonna go where you wanna. If you're going to go in the light, they love darkness rather than light. Now, having said that, 1 Corinthians, if I can. First Corinthians in chapter 4. And picking up a thought right in the midst of it all here. Verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. So that doesn't sound too good. But, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, and we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. That's what we do. We just go, why? This is the world, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, this is your heaven. This is it. If you know the Lord as your Savior, this is the worst hell you'll ever know. No more than this. But if you aren't saved, this is heaven. All you're going to get. That's sobering, isn't it? Sobering. Wow. Now, hang on. So God, we're going to be persecuted, and we're going to have to just go with it. Because if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And picking up our thought again, in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are, verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So God, we're awesome. We're beat up, we're sheep for the slaughter, but we never get killed. We just keep going. Wow. And the world doesn't know what to do with us. They're trying to get rid of us. They don't know how to get rid of us. Not until it's your time. So now, having said that, Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, as you would guess, Romans 8, and in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. Nope. So all the persecution in the world, did that ever stop our relationship to God? Does it ever interfere? No. All it means is we got to be like Jeremiah in that sense and say, God, remember me. Visit me and avenge me. God, you're going to have to do what you have to do in your time and your place to take care of this. And God, and that's what you're going to do, God. That's correct. I'm always there on time, but not until it's the time. So if you're asking me to do something ahead of time, I don't. If you're asking me to delay it, I don't. I have delayed things for Hezekiah and different people. I have done that, but that's an exception. I don't normally delay. I'm on time. Always on time. Mm-hmm. So God, we're looking to you. That's right. And God, so Romans, thus Romans chapter 12. And having said that, in Romans chapter 12, if I can, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge, there's your word, avenge not yourselves. You don't have to do it. But rather give place unto wrath. Remember Habakkuk? In wrath, you're going to do wrath. Remember mercy. Remember mercy, God. You're going to do wrath. God said, are you going to fix things? I'm coming. I'm going to avenge. I'm coming in vengeance. I'm going to judge the world. I'm going to fix everything. I'm going to judge it. Wow. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, God, we don't have to punish. God, you're going to do it. For it is written, vengeance is mine. We read that in Deuteronomy 32. And I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, God, we're going to be at ease. And the enemy can do whatever. But God, we're just going to look to you. And God, we're just going to do the right thing when everyone wants to do the wrong thing. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So now, God, here we are looking, and darkness protects itself ferociously. Darkness hates light. It persecutes light. The world hates light. Darkness promotes itself. It hates it. It hates it. So if you're going to be a little light in the world, then you have to understand that the whole world around you, you're just there. If you're just a light bulb and you stay disconnected from power and you are dark, a dark light bulb doesn't make any difference to a stick, does it? Because you see, it's all dark. It doesn't make any difference. So the little light bulb's not a stick, but the little light bulb is dark. So it fits in. Everyone else is dark, and it doesn't matter what it is as long as it's dark. That's right. Wow. Men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. Now, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, so here's light and darkness. And light. Now, let me do it a different way. Now, just the question actually. What would you do to give up your eyesight? Who would you give it up for? What would you give up your eyesight for? You're going to do it now? What would you? What's your terms to give up your eyesight? Reluctant, aren't you? Remember, they used to stick hot irons in the eye, and that didn't do good. You know, cooked eyes aren't good. Now, you understand that? 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ does what? Cleanse us of all sin. So we want to stay in the light. So we stay clean and healthy. We aren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. It isn't a question of that. It's a question we're staying in the light. In the light. Men love darkness. So if I'm going to walk in the light, as he is in the light, the world is not going to be happy. So the only way I can do is stay in the dark. In my work, home, school, play, stay in the dark. Keep the light bulb covered or disconnected from power. Because God, if I'm a little light, and I can be, I'm supposed to, and I can do so walking, not because we're powerful, no, not because of anything. We're just going to walk in the light. And God, you're going to do, avenge, I'm going to take care of everything. That's what I want you to do, walk in the light. I am, 1 John 1:5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So God, here we are going in the light, that's what we're going to do. And God, that's what you want. Would I give it up? I wouldn't, you'd have a problem giving up your eyesight, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? But you don't have a problem so much giving up light. Huh? It's much easier to walk in the dark. Work, home, school, slide along. You know, because no one will say anything. No one bothers me. I don't bother them. Aha. We got a difference, don't we? God said, you got to be persecuted. But God said, what's new? I told you it would be. I told you to walk in the light, and I'll avenge you. Aren't you? You're looking for me to fix it. I'm not going to fix everything is all over the place. The world hates darkness. People you work with hate darkness. People you go to school with hate darkness. People all over the place hate darkness. The whole world hates darkness. Wow. So what's new? So where are you going to go? Grocery store? Wherever you want to go. They aren't happy. So are you going to trust God? That's right. I'm going to walk in the light and thank God for His presence. And God, you remember, and you know, and you visit, and you're going to take care of things. And so they can say what they want. That's true. Let them say it. So what? So what's it do? Doesn't change anything. Doesn't change anything at all. So God, here we are looking. And in the process, we don't want to be in the dark. Now, do this a different way if it helps you at all. I'm trying to get it to you. How easy, because we talk about walking in the light, darkness, persecution, but we don't want to be persecuted. No, and you aren't going to be. You aren't going to be necessarily at all. You're going to walk in the light, that's all. That's all, and yet, whatever. And you know, if your heart's right, people relax with you. You know, you want out to punch them in the nose or something, and they relax. You know, don't you? You all know, I mean, you guys don't know all that. I do everything. I do all kinds of people. I don't, they know where I am, you know, and whatever. I don't care. And I never, Jeanette, you can, I never have a problem. Waitresses remember me from 2 years ago. Don't ask me. I didn't do anything. I didn't even give them probably a quarter tip, you know. Wow. You're going to trust God, and sometimes you get clipped, and I've been through all those things, and so have some of you. Terribly clipped. It doesn't matter. It's all right. It's still here. Wow. Walking in the light. That's what you do. So God, here we are looking, and you know, if I were to go and turn out the dark, in the dark, when you go home tonight, you must have a closet, do you, somewhere? And what to do is go in your closet. I've got to quit. And make sure it's dark. Do you want to stay in that dark? If I make it all dark now, dark, 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 real dark, aren't you going to be looking for light? I don't want to go in the darkness because I have light and sight. I don't want darkness. I like light. I look for light. But if I'm dark, if I'm dark already, what's dark? More dark? It's all dark. It's all dark anyway. But once I had light, boy, I don't want darkness. I'm glad for light. I am. I'm glad for it. I don't want to be in the dark. Wow. Wow. Anyway, perhaps you have particular requests. I hope you got a little bit. And God's a wonderful God, and you just have to learn to trust Him. That's all you do. It isn't a big trick. You just do it. And God helps us. That's what God does. So, remember our country.